Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Today, on the first part of today's program, we're going to take a deeper dive into the Piney Point plant that is releasing polluted wastewater into Tampa Bay. We're going to get some history in just a moment. But before we do that, the westbound lanes of the Courtney Campbell Causeway are closed because of a crash involving multiple vehicles. The crash is just east of Dr. Kiran Patel Boulevard, and it occurred at 10:21 this morning. So if you're headed westbound on Courtney Campbell, that's the cause of the problem. The westbound lanes are all closed. Well, that mandatory evacuation order around the leaking Manatee County phosphate reservoir that affected more than 300 homes and additional businesses has been lifted, officials said with yesterday's announcement that the situation is under control. More than two dozen pumps have been deployed, along with other equipment, pumping water from the wastewater reservoir. That's eased fears that the reservoir from the old Piney Point phosphate fertilizer processing plant would burst through its earthen walls and cause widespread flooding in Manatee County on the southern shores of Tampa Bay. The reservoir initially held about 480 million gallons of contaminated water, but much of it has been pumped out since the leak was discovered. Florida lawmakers are now considering spending $200 million on a permanent cleanup. Environmentalists and scientists are now studying water quality to see how much damage has been done, if any. And we're going to talk about this with Craig Pittman, who's one of the top environmental reporters in the state. For a long time, he worked at the Tampa Bay Times. And yesterday, he wrote a piece for the Florida Phoenix about the history of the problems at the Piney Point plant. And I spoke with him earlier today. Craig Pittman, thanks for coming on WMNF.
Always a pleasure.
Craig, I guess a lot of people are asking me, who owns Piney Point? And I'd like to start there. The phosphate mine is no longer in operation, but who owns it and what are they doing with it?
Well, first let me correct a misconception a lot of people have. There is no mine. There is a processing plant. They used to bring phosphate rock there from mines elsewhere and process it and turn it into fertilizer. And, of course, the processing there at the plant produces all the phosphogypsum waste that, because it's radioactive, they have to stack up in those, you know, those big mountains that you see in central Florida primarily. And then it gets the, you know, it has this acidic water on top. The owner most recently is a company called HRK Holdings, which one of the Manatee County commissioners in his in a comments to the Brayton Herald yesterday said basically is shell company after shell company. But the principal owner is apparently a guy who's a New York investor who has also in the past owned and run hedge funds, a blueberry farm, and several Hooters restaurants. So, you know, he fits right in Florida.
How do you make money off of phosphate, phosphogypsum stack? How does one make money off such a stack?
Well, the idea behind HRK Holdings that they pitched to the Manatee County Commission was that they were not going to operate it as a phosphate processing plant. What they were going to do was they were going to slowly, you know, take all that stuff out and turn it into a business that would store things for the Port Manatee, which is right across the street. And in fact, they had already used it as a place to dump spoil from dredging ship's berths over at the port. So some of the liquid that was in the stack that threatened to collapse was salt water from being brought over from the port.
Well, that leads me to the question, this water that's been released, these millions of gallons of water that have been released into Bishop Harbor and eventually into Tampa Bay, what does it contain? I mean, I've heard all sorts of conflicting comments about what it contains. What's your best estimation of what it contains?
Well, and from talking to a scientist named Ed Sherwood, who's the executive director of the Tampa Bay Estuary Program, he says it's, you know, it's a mix of that salt water, rainwater, because of course the ponds collect rain when it falls, and also the processing water left over from when it was a functioning phosphate processing plant. That's the nasty stuff. That's the stuff that has, you know, like cadmium in it, and most concerning is it has phosphorus and nitrogen, which are nutrients. And of course, nutrient pollution is Florida's biggest pollution problem, and it's the thing that fuels toxic algae blooms. And so, you know, a lot of local governments around Tampa Bay have spent billions of dollars over the last, you know, 20, 30 years trying to clean up the nutrient pollution in the bay so that the seagrass beds would come back. We'd have a healthy bay, you know, thriving marine population and so forth. And until pretty recently, we'd succeeded. You know, the bay was as healthy as it had been back in the 1950s. Well, now suddenly we're releasing this massive slug of nutrient pollution into Bishop Harbor, into, you know, into that part of the bay, and it's basically going to turn back the clock on that nutrient pollution cleanup, and we're likely to see, you know, maybe starting in a week or so, a toxic algae bloom there that's going to spell very bad news for the seagrass beds and for marine life. You know, we're liable to see, you know, fish kills and so forth.
Does Tampa Bay flush itself out? I mean, does all the water proceed from, let's say, the Hillsborough River and the other rivers that feed into Tampa Bay? Does it eventually push all that fresh water into the Gulf of Mexico, or does it circulate in Tampa Bay?
It does both. It circulates, and it has a sort of a poor flushing action that I think varies from season to season. And it depends on where in the bay you are as to whether things get flushed out quickly or slowly. And so that's why some parts of the bay are cleaner, have been cleaner than others. There's a section up near Oldsmar, the old Tampa Bay area, that has been sort of the long-term problem as far as cleaning up the rest of the bay. You know, other parts have gotten cleaner. That area up near Oldsmar continue to be a problem just because of the circulation there. Bishop Harbor has had problems with Piney Point waste since the Piney Point plant opened in 1966. I mean, a year later, the owner, then the Borden Chemical Company, the same people who make milk and Elmer's glue, they were caught dumping their waste in Bishop Harbor. And in fact, I found a 1970 story from the Tampa Tribune reporting that there was a massive algae bloom that had taken over Bishop Harbor and had ruined the fishing there, and it was the result of waste from the Piney Point plant that had been dumped there.
Mm. Craig Pittman is our guest. He's one of the top environmental reporters in the state, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. He's writing now for the Florida Phoenix, but in the past he wrote for the Tampa Bay Times and the St. Petersburg Times before the name change. Craig, these are phosphogypsum stacks that are slightly radioactive. Is any of that water that is going into Bishop Harbor radioactive?
I've heard two things on that. One is that it is, but it's a transfer from the gypsum stack itself. The other is that the water is not radioactive. I suspect that if it is at all radioactive, it's very, very mild radioactivity. And the bigger problem is the nutrient pollution. That's the big thing to worry about, because that's what fuels the algae blooms.
Now, way back in 2003, you wrote for the then St. Petersburg Times, along with Julie Hauserman and Candace Rondeau, an article about Piney Point. And let me just kind of summarize the top line. In 2003, you wrote that Piney Point could be one of the biggest environmental threats in Florida history. You were quoting an official, and you say that the Piney Point fertilizer plant was heading for disaster. Now, this is 17 years ago you co-wrote this article.
Yes, and see, I was right.
Or I should say 18 years ago.
18 years ago. It just took a while. No, at that point, they were, you know, that's the thing about the Piney Point plant is that every few years it pops up in crisis mode again, and the crisis passes, usually with some damage being done to the bay. And then people kind of conveniently forget about trying to put in a permanent fix until the next time it's in crisis. And at that point, the then owner of the plant, the Mulberry Corporation, had declared bankruptcy and just walked away and turned off the pumps, which was the scary part, because that meant the water was no longer circulating in there. Instead, it was just accumulating, and there had already been a huge rainfall. And so they were right on the verge of having another catastrophic spill. And so the EPA took over the plant, and then they handed it off to the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. And the plan they came up with was this emergency approval from the EPA to load millions of gallons of the stuff onto a barge at the port, and then take the barge out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico and spray the stuff in the air over the Gulf. hoping that some of it would evaporate and the rest would fall into the water and be diluted by the size of the Gulf of Mexico. And it's just, it's still astonishing to me that that plan was approved. But, you know, I guess we've abused the Gulf of Mexico for centuries, so what's a little bit more? But the at that point, you know, I was the environmental reporter. We had an environmental reporter in Tallahassee, Julie Hauserman, and we had a very dedicated and detailed bulldog of a reporter in Candace Rondo. And so the three of us went to town on the records of the state DEP in Tallahassee and in Tampa, as well as the bankruptcy court records. And by sort of compiling all of those and comparing them and building a timeline and so forth, we were able to show that in the 10 or 12 years in the lead up to this crisis, that the DEP had repeatedly sort of turned a blind eye to bad things going on at Piney Point, and it bent the rules to allow them to keep operating, to the point where other people in the phosphate industry were offended by it and said, how come they got to get away with this stuff when we couldn't? And it was really just all this lax regulation that became a formula for the disaster that followed and continued up to this day.
back then, one of the quotes in the article is, now a top state regulator calls Piney Point one of the biggest environmental threats in Florida history. This is in 2003. Why has Piney Point never been cleaned up? Why do those phosphogypsum stacks remain? Why does the wastewater remain? Why has it never been cleaned up?
Because the people in charge lack the political will to take on something this big and nasty and expensive. And make no mistake, this is going to be a really expensive thing to clean up, but that's the consequence of not doing their jobs in the first place. At the time of the initial crisis that we wrote about, there was actually a fund that had been set up by the legislature that all the phosphate plants in Florida paid into to help pay for the eventual cleanup of a phosphate plant that failed. And this one plant, the Piney Point plant, drained that entire account. And so that meant that there would be no restoration work done at other phosphate plants around the state. I mean, it was just a whole cascade of consequences from coddling the owners of this thing.
Do we know what the status of the Phosphate Restoration Fund is today? Does it still exist? Has it been replenished?
I don't know. I would have to check on that.
Yeah. You point out in your article that the state, several members of the legislature, are now proposing spending $200 million in state money that they got through the federal COVID relief package that many Republicans opposed. Go ahead. What would you say?
I was just going to say, I just thought it was very ironic that our Republican legislators are saying, hey, here's this money for COVID relief. Let's use it for Piney Point relief. And meanwhile, not a single Republican in Congress voted for it. So, you know.
Yeah. So why doesn't the industry have a fund to clean up these phosphogypsum stacks and the wastewater that's on top of them? Why doesn't the industry have a fund or have a fund big enough so that when they decide to leave the mine or leave the processing plant, the land can begin to be restored to what it almost was?
Some of the owners deal with it on their own. For instance, Mosaic, which is just a huge, huge player in the phosphate industry, took one of their old phosphate mining areas and turned it into a golf course resort. I think it's called Stream Song. And it's apparently a very successful resort. And I guess people who stay there don't mind being on top of something that used to be radioactive. maybe it makes it easier to spot the golf balls on the course since they glow a little bit. In general, it's like a lot of things in Florida where we think about today and we don't worry about the consequences for tomorrow, and we sort of kick the can down the road. And you can get away with that in a state where 900 new people move in every day and they don't know the past and they don't know what the issues are next time an election rolls around.
Some people have asked me, why don't the phosphate companies cover these wastewater ponds with a tarp or something so that they don't get more rainwater and that, eventually they hope the water will evaporate, but at least you're not adding the summer rains to these waste holding ponds.
Well, where would the tarps? Then the tarps would collect the rain. What would they do with it?
Yeah.
You're just sort of putting in another layer, but the problem still exists. And of course, it gets worse whenever we have a tropical storm or a hurricane come through.
Well, we're talking with Craig Pittman. He's an environmental reporter, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. You mentioned that almost immediately when this plant, processing plant was built, there were problems with it, and there was spills pretty quickly into Bishop Harbor. Yeah.
Which is an aquatic preserve, or supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. So is there danger to people that live nearby these plants or people that work in these plants if there's low levels of radiation and there's these high levels of things like nitrogen and phosphorus? Is there any danger to people that work or to animals nearby or anything like that?
Well, it was when it was in operation. I mean, in the 70s, there were reports of air pollution that got out, fumes that got out and actually sickened nearby residents and did, in fact, kill some cattle. Quite honestly, I'm surprised people didn't swarm over the fence and burn it to the ground back then, but I guess they waited for the government to do its job. And the big problem with this plant is where it's located. You know, if they had built it where most of the phosphate processing plants are, which is Central Florida, you know, inland, there would not be this risk to Tampa Bay. But it's built, you know, back then, I guess they thought it was an ideal location since it was across from the port for shipping phosphate in and out and near a CSX railroad track so you could, you know, transport it by rail. But that proximity to the bay and specifically having a creek that runs right next to the property that then flows into Bishop Harbor makes it a terrible risk to the bay just about every time that, you know, you turn on the lights and open the place.
Is there potential, and I know this is not your job, but is there potential to sue the people that own the Piney Point processing plant because of the spill? Is there potential for a lawsuit so that taxpayers could recoup money and then, you know, not spend $200 million of taxpayer money on cleaning the mess up?
Well, as I mentioned, the apparently the owner is shell company after shell company, and you'd have to wade through all of those layers in order to get to it. I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on TV, but I'm assuming that would take so long it might not be worth the game to go after them. But all the public officials are vowing to try, so we'll see how that turns out.
So this isn't the only plant that's had a spill. Back in the 1990s in Mulberry, mm-hmm. There was a spill in Polk County. Talk about that spill.
Sure. Well, it was at that time, it was that plant was owned by the same company that owned Piney Point, the Mulberry Corporation. And during a very heavy rainfall, a dike that was built there to contain the acidic water atop one of the gib stacks broke under the force of so much water. And the acidic water flowed down from the stack and into a creek that led to the Alafaya River, and it basically killed everything in its path for about 42 miles all the way up to the mouth of the river. You know, millions of fish, trees lining the banks of the river, alligators died, it was just a horrible, nasty thing, and the state hit Mulberry with a big fine, and that's the point at which Mulberry declared bankruptcy and walked away. So fortunately, another phosphate company stepped in and sort of took over the Mulberry plant, but the Piney Point plant, that's the one where the EPA and then ultimately the state wound up stepping in and taking over the place. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's sort of the thing that haunts everyone, I think, who studies the Piney Point plant is, what if it turns out like the Mulberry plant did? What if there's a spill so massive and so nasty that it does to Tampa Bay what that other plant did to the Alafaya River? And, you know, I guess we're fortunate, to the extent that there's any luck involved, we're fortunate that the water that spilled from Piney Point this time was the stuff that was not quite as bad because it was diluted by seawater and rainwater. But the ponds atop the other stacks at Piney Point, they're more, I'm not sure you can say pure, but they're the stuff you really don't want getting into the water.
It's even worse than what's been released already. So is this just a giant scam where phosphate companies know that it's too expensive to clean up their mess so that eventually they'll declare bankruptcy and leave taxpayers holding the bag? Is that the way this works?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, they're making money. They're making good money. I don't think their plan is to go bankrupt by any means. And in fact, they have made it pretty clear that they would rather not have to stack their waste up in these big mountains the way they're required to do. The EPA has consistently said over and over again that that waste is radioactive, and therefore the only thing you can do with it is stack it up in a big pile next to the plant. And the phosphate plants say, we would love to not have to do that. And during the Trump administration, in fact, in the waning days of the Trump administration, they got their wish granted. The EPA director, EPA secretary at the time, Andrew Wheeler, basically flip-flopped and said, okay, we've now decided that it's safe to take that phosphate waste, and in spite of the radioactivity, it's okay to build roads with it, as long as there are roads that are, you know, within a very limited distance from that phosphate plant. So so they won that thing that they'd wanted all along. There are calls now under the new administration to change things back and not allow them to build roads with the phosphate waste. So we'll see what happens with that.
And have environmentalists or scientists said anything about the safety of that?
Well, that's the funny thing. The process for them changing, the EPA changing its mind, it didn't send out any sort of public notice about it. It didn't ask for public comment. There was no scientific review. Basically, the phosphate companies sent in their own science review of it, and the EPA said, yep, sounds good to me. Let's do it. There it was.
And that was under the Trump administration?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so Craig, you pay close attention to the environment. This is just one problem facing a water body, an estuary here in Florida. Yep. I saw this week that there's now concern that Lake Okeechobee has to release some of its tainted water, and the folks at Indian River are very concerned about that because they fear another fish kill. So how many estuaries around Florida are endangered from things like phosphate or other kinds of pollution?
Well, a lot of them, and we've got about 13 estuaries, at least a dozen estuaries, and many of them are suffering from similar problems, nutrient pollution. In Indian River Lagoon, which at one time was considered the most productive estuary in North America, they've lost thousands and thousands of acres of seagrass, and as a result, when manatees sought refuge there in the cold of the winter, many of them starved to death. We've seen hundreds that died because of malnutrition. There are problems with nutrient pollution and also a lack of freshwater flow in Florida Bay down at the southern tip of the state. The Charlotte Harbor in the Fort Myers area, they've got problems with water releases from Lake Okeechobee, just like you know, just like you've seen on the East Coast in the Stewart area,
Indian River,
and it's you know, once again, it's, you know, problems with algae blooms, so that are fueled by nutrient pollution from leaky septic tanks, poorly maintained sewer systems, and animal waste, and so it's just there's and fertilizer. It's just you know, there are a lot of common problems among these estuaries, which are sad to see because the estuaries are so incredibly important to making Florida what it is, making Florida such an attractive place to live. They're sort of the nurseries of the sea, and a lot of the fish that people like to catch, they start out their lives there. The seagrasses attract manatees, which people love to see. It's just a shame to see what we've done to our estuaries and that we don't value them the way we should and instead value the convenience of business over the cleanliness of our waterways.
And Craig, I know so many fishermen, people that have boats, and at least in the group of people that I know, most vote for the politicians who look the other way when these polluters release their pollution into the water. They vote for less regulation on business.
Well, I think that may be changing. I think you're starting to see, pardon the pun, a sea change in how people think about this because of the massive red tide algae bloom that we had that went for about 18 months between, what was it, 2016 and 2019, where you actually had people attacking politicians for doing just what you're talking about. I mean, they even nicknamed Rick Scott Red Tide Rick and hooted him out of a campaign appearance when he's running for U.S. Senate. And part of the appeal that Ron DeSantis presented for some voters was that he promised to do something about all the toxic algae blooms. Now, has not exactly followed through on that promise, but, you know, at least he cared enough to pay lip service to the idea of fixing the problem. So I think people are starting to understand that in Florida, the environment and the economy are linked so tightly that if you screw up the environment, you screw up the economy. And that if you want to continue having, you know, healthy businesses and good profits, then you need to take care of making sure that we have clean water.
So, Craig, is there anything else you'd like to point out about the situation around Piney Point or the other estuaries around the state that we didn't cover already?
Yeah, I did a story for the Washington Post today that talked about the potential solution that people in Manatee County have come up with, which is to take the waste from Piney Point, treat it, and then inject it into underground wells, 3,500 feet down in the salty part of the Florida aquifer, which is an idea they brought up before back in 2013, and it faced huge opposition from local residents, from environmental activists, and from farmers who were very concerned that the waste would migrate into the part of the aquifer that they were using for irrigating their crops. I don't know if it's going to face a similar level of opposition this time around. One farmer I talked to said he was definitely dead set against it. Another one said, you know, he was just so tired of Piney Point crisis after crisis after crisis, he's willing to give this one a try, even though it risks the cleanliness of his irrigation wells. Mm-hmm. The big concern I heard from environmental groups, and particularly from Glenn Compton from Manasota 88, which is an organization, it's small but feisty, and they've been around for decades, is they're worried that this will become a solution for all of the other gyp stacks in Florida, that they'll take the acidic processed water and inject it down in the aquifer, and they fear what that would do to the quality of the drinking water here in Florida. So we'll see that fight going on over the next couple of years at least.
Yeah, and the Manatee County Commission yesterday voted to pursue that.
Yeah, unanimously.
To pursue that plan unanimously. So just to follow up, are there any studies that show that that water stays down there, or could the water percolate up?
Well, that's the thing, is there is an example from St. Petersburg that I've written about where they were doing that with treated sewage. They were injecting it, and it did migrate up and show up in somebody's drinking well, and the city had to deal with that. But the city has continued doing deep well injection of its sewage, too. So it's almost like going out in public without a mask, you know, figuring, well, it hadn't hit me before. Maybe I'll be okay this time, too.
Craig Pittman, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF. Where can people see your stories?
I write once a week. I write a column once a week for the Florida Phoenix, which is an online news organization staffed by some former Times people. And so you can look for me on there. You can look for Lucy Morgan. She writes columns there. Diane Roberts. So
that's a great crew.
We got the gang back together.
And the Washington Post today.
Yes, and the Washington Post today. That's right.
Craig Pittman, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
That was Craig Pittman, a longtime environmental reporter here in the Tampa Bay area, now writing for the Florida Phoenix, and he has an article today in the Washington Post, as you heard, and for years he was employed by the Tampa Bay Times. And if you want to comment about anything Craig said so far, our email is dj@wmnf.org, or you can call us at 813-239-9663. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get Craig on live, but I'm glad we were able to get him. Let's go to Scott in St. Petersburg. Hey, Scott, you're on. What would you like to say? Scott? Scott in St. Pete? All right. Scott, we'll put you on hold for a second. There's a bunch of emails that have come in. Let me try to read some of them. Kevin writes, Governor DeSantis is more concerned with suppressing the vote and making peaceful protesters felons than he is with protecting Florida's fragile environment. From Red Tide's Rick Scott to Pop-Up Pod Ron, Florida's environmental future is a dystopian nightmare. For anyone who believes the holding company will pay for cleanup, I have some property to sell you. Bring your waiters, writes Kevin. Looks like we have about 15 or 20 emails on this topic. Let me just read a few of them before we go to the phones. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Kurt wanted us to ask about deep well injection, and I'm glad Craig brought that up at the end of that interview. Yesterday, our reporter, Daniel Figueroa IV, did a great report about the debate over deep well injection yesterday at the Manatee County Commission. And you can see that on our website at WMNF.org. And then Mark writes this. He's in Orlando. And let me see if I can do this email justice. Mark writes, since the Florida Department of Environmental Protection has failed miserably, arguably, for decades, and those polluters are left off the hook time and time again, political cash having its way, wouldn't the EPA, being the sole overseer, be the permanent answer for long-term management solutions? Just skip Florida and its ongoing neglect, writes Mark in Orlando. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I don't know if they have the power to do that, but Mark, thank you so much for that. I think if there was interstate commerce involved, and maybe you could argue that phosphate is interstate commerce, the federal government could get involved. I think the EPA, you're right, does get involved in some local issues, especially Superfund sites. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Al in Pinellas Park. Al, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Oh, you just covered the last part I was thinking about was the super funding. Why is it not super funded? I know there's a super fund site up in Gainesville. They're all over the place. And the super fund, from what I understand, actually is federal. So it chases these people down, these shell companies. Is that still working? Or
well, that's a good question. And next time I get Craig on or somebody else dealing with Piney Point, I'll ask that question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I'm from Washington, D.C., and a long time ago, I knew a young lawyer who was working in the super funding site. She said it's just really bad.
Yeah, and there are super fund sites right here in the Tampa Bay area. All right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Al, thanks a lot. Thank you. Thank you for
all
the
right.
call.
Sure.
It's a good question, and I will remember to find the answer to it. Let's go to Nancy in St. Petersburg. Hey, Nancy, you're on MNF.
Hi. Okay. We're right on Tampa Bay, me and my husband, and we're across, we can see the skyway from where we live. And you look across there, and you can see this Piney Point place. And, you know, the tide goes all over the place. It isn't just over there. It's over here, too. Okay? So it's Pinellas County also, where the tides are going to come in and out and all around. And so we're all affected. And I just want to say this deep well injection business, how do they know that they're going to treat it? You know, this is Florida. You've got the biggest scam people down here. You've got people breaking the law every day. And you know, these phosphate people, they're going to say, well, we can save a little money here and just skip that part of it where we treat it, and they're going to inject it down there anyway. Who's going to know? It's out of sight, out of mind. And Florida is, we're notorious for this kind of stuff with big business. Because that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to bring all the big business down here, and we didn't want to tax them. We didn't want to have any regulations on them because we wanted them here so that we could get a lot of money, okay, somehow. And so, you know, if you come to Florida, it's like carte blanche. You can do anything you want to if you are a big corporation. And I do not trust them. I mean, I just do not trust them. Did you know that at the head of the Hillsborough River, which is the drinking water for Tampa, you've got phosphate mines up there in Crystal River, all right? And, you know, they're a mess.
Okay.
That's all I want to say.
Nancy, thanks a lot. Thank you. And the Manatee County Commission is taking the first steps towards using deep well injection as a way to get rid of this wastewater. So if you're concerned about it, there are other places around the state, too, that use deep water well injection for sewage, taking care of sewage. But I think Nancy's question is right. Who's going to make sure that that water is treated before it's put in the deep well? That's a great question. Paul in Thanota Sassa writes, I thought there was a cradle-to-grave rule in place on pollution sites like this. How is Mosaic off the hook and able to simply sell off this problem to a shell company that then can claim bankruptcy and dump it on the taxpayers, writes Paul. Actually, it wasn't Mosaic. It was a company called Mulberry Corporation, but that's a good question. How was it able to claim bankruptcy? And then essentially, it looks like taxpayers are going to be on the hook for $200 million. That's the number we saw in the paper today. Let's go to Les in Brooksville. Hi, Les. You're on M&F. What's up?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I listened to the reporter's comments, and he said something like, well, if you build these people that build their homes on these reclaimed lands, these golf courses like Black Diamond, et cetera, he said when the radiation goes away, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, radiation doesn't go away unless you live a very, very long time. So these people that are building on these lands, but the tailings in the phosphate mines contain radium, and one of the drinking water standards for the state is radium. And when you build on, when radium is accumulated, when these tailings are built up, this radium accumulates in one of the decay products of radium is radon, radon-222, and that gets in your home, and that can be bad. So as far as who's going to pay for all this, back in the 80s, let me say one thing. The good that may come out of this is that environmental regulations like they were in the 80s may come to the forefront again. EPA's funding has been just completely decimated. You know, it's not there anymore. So maybe that's going to be a wake-up call for the state, for Florida, for the nation to get back on the environmental bandwagon and get back to the way things were and fix this issue once and for all.
All right, Les. Thanks. Thanks for your views. Let's see, this email comes from Bob in Largo. He says, spot on show, thanks. My contention is that all the money being spent to bring back Tampa Bay is potentially being reversed right now with the dumping of this wastewater in Tampa Bay, writes Bob in Largo. Bob, thank you for that. Let's try Scott in St. Pete one more time. Hey, Scott, you're on M&F. What's up? All right, looks like Scott's not there. Scott, sorry about that. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Miles in Sarasota. Hi, Miles, you're on M&F.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Good.
I don't know if this will help, but I saw a program, this is a while ago, on California with their water situation, and they had some kind of, it was like a, they looked like they were balls, you know, but what they did is that they helped evaporate water and some of their toxic stuff, you know. I don't know if this man knows anything about that at all, but it was pretty interesting. And they filled these areas with like toxic water out there, you know, wastewater, stuff like that. And supposedly, it helps evaporate a lot of the water.
Yeah, I don't know what the technique is. I'm sure there's a lot of people in the environmental community, the environmental science community, that knows what the best way to deal with water like this is. But we don't have an expert in the building. So, yeah. Miles, thanks a lot. Thanks for your suggestion.
Sure, take care.
All right. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. A bunch of emails have come in. Let me see if I can go through just one or two more before we go back to the phones. Let's see if I can read the next email. This one says, this is from Ron in West Tampa. He says, Craig spoke of shell companies who now own Piney Point. Is it possible that HRK company has a hold harmless condition in their contract and cannot be sued? So the state eventually has to take over these places once disaster occurs. And Ron says, Craig, thanks for your writing. I don't know what the answer to that is. And I'm sure in the next few days we're going to see some good reporting from some of the local newspapers about whether or not the state can go after the company that operates Piney Point. Jeff writes this, as I understand it, LLCs are set up to help the business owner and reduce financial risk, but if any such company is created which might present severe danger to the environment or to the public, I don't think such a business should be permitted to do this kind of operation, writes Jeff. Jeff, thanks for that. You may want to contact your state legislators and tell them what you think. Gary in Dunedin. Gary, what would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, to put this into a bigger perspective, and thank you as always for having experts and great reporters on to accompany your own great reporting. Being born and raised in Florida, I feel like what we are a victim of here is environmental terrorism by corporations and individuals. It reminds me of what Shell Oil has done to the Ogoni tribe in Nigeria. And I'll just real briefly explain what I mean. Ever since I was born here, I've been watching developers, extractive industries like the mining industries, fishermen, etc., stealing away the Florida I love, threatening me and my friends who tried to stop them, environmental advocates, and just terrorizing Florida by piecemeal destroying the web of life that keeps the state, well, it used to be beautiful in a tropical paradise. The only difference is that in Nigeria, Shell Oil actually resorted to, murder, rape, and other forms of violence to intimidate the people that were fighting for their native homeland against the oil company's destruction of it. And here they haven't gotten to that level, but I can tell you that many environmental activists who have tried to stop Mosaic and other phosphate mines, as well as stopping logging operations in northern Florida, stopping boating and jet skiing, have been threatened with violence the same way that the Trumpers threatened election officials with violence and Fauci with violence. So I want us to look at this and see environmental terrorism, and let's hold these people accountable one way or the other. Thank you so much.
Okay. Gary, thanks for your thoughts, and you're listening to 88.5 FM. If you want to comment, everybody wants to chime in on the Piney Point phosphate situation. So if you want to comment about that or anything else, you can call us at 813-239-9663. Let's go to Terry in St. Petersburg. Hi, Terry. You're on M&F.
Hi. Couple of things. Number one, I don't know if everybody knows this, but this depot injection technique has never been tried before with phosphate waste. They have done it with sewage and other things, but they've never done it with phosphate waste before. Also, our aquifer is a very porous limestone, so injecting contaminated acidic water into it seems like a very bad idea to me. I think that we are really risking our drinking water by doing this. Second thing, and I didn't hear the whole show, so I don't know if Craig mentioned this. One of the reasons that that gypsec is so unstable is because the company was also working on dredging a deepwater port at Port Manatee. They wanted to get Panama Canal ships in there.
Yeah, he did mention that, yes.
Yeah, the permission to pile up that dredge material on top of the gypsec. Horrible, horrible idea. County Commission should never have allowed it.
Okay, Terry, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if you want to talk to the Manatee County Commission, they're pursuing that deepwater well permit. And so you may want to tell them what you think. Either way, maybe you support them. Maybe you support the idea, rather, or maybe you don't. But that is what the Manatee County Commission voted to do yesterday. David writes this, what a mess. If this water is acidic, and it looks like he's echoing what Terry just said, if this water is acidic, it can't be good for all the limestone that contains the aquifer. It can't be a good thing. It's like sweeping the mess under the rug, writes David. And then here's an email from Jerome. Jerome writes, this is an excellent example of why fracking should not be allowed either. Poisoning the environment for profit is wrong. It should be over-regulated, not under-regulated, writes Jerome. And then Ernie's in Port Richey, and he writes this, I would like to know how many jobs a phosphate mine actually creates, writes Ernie in Port Richey. And Ernie, I don't know those numbers, but thank you for your email. And then Gary writes this, the deep well injection is not a solution for our pollution problems. The aquifer is not a magical scrubber or a water purifier, writes Gary. So, Gary, thank you for that. Sean wants to warn us about another crash. This is on Courtney Campbell again, where the previous crash was. And Sean says that the eastbound lanes of the Courtney Campbell are now affected by a different crash. The westbound lanes remain shut down. Your best bet now is to use the Howard Franklin or another alternative to get back and forth from Hillsborough to Pinellas and vice versa. So, Sean, thank you for keeping an eye on that. Let's go to Tim in Dunedin. Hey, Tim, you're on M&F. What's up?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for doing this this series on Piney Point, too. I see it's gotten national attention. But it's no big surprise to me. I've moved here in the middle 90s, and pretty much ever since I've moved here, it's been one scandal after the other. I mean, at the moment, we're giving away 1 million gallons of water a day to to, it's either Pepsi or Coca-Cola for no charge.
You're talking about the Nestle's. Nestle's in North Florida.
Sorry. And how many times have we heard about this phosphate problem? I mean, in the last decade, it was all about the red tide and how that was like ruining the beaches. And now we have another situation where the solution seemed to be to put up a plastic pond and think that it would last forever. I'm shocked to hear that we even have an Environmental Protection Agency in Florida. It just seems like the same old thing. Corporations come in, they buy a couple of politicians, mess up the state, take the money and run. I will be happy to be disabused of this. I would love to be shown where I'm wrong, but it just seems like we have these scandals all the time.
We always hear how tough environmental regulators or even workplace safety regulators are, but we've heard cases in the last few days, the Piney Point example, where the environmental regulators have been pretty lax. And when it came to the lead smelting plant in Tampa, the OSHA's been pretty lax, too. So we always hear that the regulations are really tough on business. Well, in these two cases, the regulators were not very tough.
One of the great needs for life, Rob, is water. I forget what a percentage of our bodies are made of water, but I know it's a large percentage. And it doesn't matter if we're throwing the poison into the drinking water or if we're throwing the poison into the bay. Once we kill the water, everything else, you know, we'll all be drinking water out of bottles from hopefully somewhere safe.
And
I thank you for your time.
All right.
And for the great work you do.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. And you're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. Let's go to Dennis in Sarasota. Hey, Dennis, you're on the show.
Oh, hi, Rob. Two issues. Their first phosphate dump in the Gulf killed thousands of tarpon. Of course, that was covered over. And then not only that, but Florida's a perfect storm. You got old people moving in here that don't live very long, and you got people moving here by the thousands who aren't very well educated about the environment. And then the environment in Florida is the most fragile environment imaginable. So we're going to watch it disappear in our lifetime.
Well, let's hope not. Okay, Dennis, thank you. Thank you for that. Let's hope that isn't where we're headed. All right. I'm glad you called. And Pete in Indian Shores says, I wonder how many other areas in Tampa Bay and the surrounding cities have major pollution problems yet we're not even aware of yet, writes Pete in Indian Shores. Yeah, Pete, I think there are probably major pollution problems that we've not heard of yet. Very good point. And then Terry writes this deep well injection technique has never before been tried with phosphate waste. Our aquifer is porous karst injecting acidic contaminated water. What could possibly go wrong, writes Terry in St. Pete. That was probably the Terry that called earlier. No? Yeah, it could be. And then Bill in Jacksonville says, Gary, you're absolutely right and very well put, very well articulated and concise, and you covered very great points, writes Bill in Jacksonville. And then David writes this. He says, hold on. He doesn't say. All right. So, David, thanks. I think he sent me a flyer from somebody, and when I get off the air, I will read it. Thank you, David. Let's go to Larry. And Larry says, I'm a long-distance swimmer, and I swim in the ocean. So sad. Here in Venice, the offshore rip currents have a north flow bias. Okay. All right. Not sure what that's referring to, but Larry, thank you for that. And 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Ed writes this, I frequently hear Gary, who just called in, leave comments on your show. He always appears very well-informed and well-spoken to the extent I would like to find out if he would be available to help me with my Thursday morning broadcast on WTAN. Can you or someone at the station put me in touch with him? Thanks for any assistance you can provide. Yeah, we don't keep the phone numbers of the people that call in, so we're not tracking those phone numbers. But maybe Gary heard you, Ed, and maybe he'll get in touch with you. 813-239-9663. Jessica Green is our phone producer today. By the way, coming up in the next hour, Nola is still away. He'll be away for a few more weeks, and then he's planning to come back. And in the next hour, we're going to hear the program background briefing, and it comes to us from the community radio station in Los Angeles. Let's go to Nick in Tampa. Hey, Nick, you're on M&F. What's up?
Hi. Here's my take on this thing. Hold on. I feel Mosaic and all the other phosphate mining companies should be required to contribute 45% of their profit on the phosphate mining into an untouchable escrow account. So when they mine out the phosphate, they declare bankruptcy and exit the area. That escrow fund can then clean up the tailing ponds and the all the minerals and things that are out there, so that, you know, it can be used again for a different purpose, the land.
Well, Nick, that question came up in my interview with Craig Pittman, and I think what we both determined is that for years the phosphate companies paid a tax that would help with cleanup, and the last time there was a problem at the Piney Point plant, which was in the early 2000s, the fund was almost eaten up completely because of the Piney Point cleanup at that point was so expensive. So we're not sure how much cleanup money still exists in the phosphate fund, but they do pay a small tax to help pay for cleanup. So that is something that we're going to be looking at the next few days to see whether or not that fund still exists, whether it's been replenished since the early 2000s. But it's an important point. Every company that causes damage to the environment, whether you're a strip miner or a coal miner or a phosphate miner, should pay something into a fund to help reclaim the land after the mining process is over. And certainly there shouldn't be wastewater holding ponds that stick around for 50 or 70 years. So I think you make a great point, and we're going to try to get to the bottom of that in the next few days. Go ahead.
Further on that. So then I was unaware of that tax, but whatever the tax levy is, the amount, if it's insufficient, then it has to be raised. And if it's raised to the point where it's no longer profitable to mine phosphate, then it's an untenable industry. So that it should go away if it can't pay for itself. So nobody's going to make cars if they can't sell the cars for the cost of building the car.
Yeah, and Nick, I think that's a really reasonable position, and if I were you, if you feel strongly about it, I would call both my state House of Representatives member and my state senator and say, you know, this is what I think you should do with phosphate, and ask them if they've done it. And their staff will probably pick up the phone, and you can talk to them and pose that idea.
Well, that's a good idea. I didn't think of that. Thanks a lot.
All right, Nick, thanks a lot. Well, I'm glad you called me first, but then call your state legislator if you feel something about something very strongly.
All righty.
Okay, Nick, thank you. All right, great to hear from you. Mark says this, I'm a former state legislator, and I'm delighted I listened in. Great show, by the way. My parents listened in from DeSoto County, where they've been battling Mosaic for years, writes Mark. Mark, thank you for that. It's great to hear from you. And let me read a few more of these emails that have come in. This email says that, and it's from Deb. It says, yes, we are in the world of cancel culture right now. Should this not apply to the Piney Point issues? When will society start saying no to fertilizers? We the people choose to demand beautiful green lawns, many golf courses, and perfect farming situations, all of which feed the demand of fertilizer, which has led to the need for the industry that has created this waste. Why are we not blaming ourselves, generations of citizens who want the product, writes Deb. Deb, I think that's true for some people, and I think other people want organic. But Deb, thank you so much. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at the comment line number, which is 813-238-8001, and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the NPR News. Thanks to Jessica Green, our phone producer today. This is WMNF Tampa. I'm Rob Lurie. Thanks for listening.